How's everybody doing? Good. I love the energy of this crowd today. I love it. Which is so awesome how God works because, you know, teachers always have to live what they teach, right? And, you know, the way the more come and people that are sick, and it's always disheartening. I always think that God gives me these messages and that the people that need to be here need to be here. Thank you, Gail. But, you know, I have been blessed from the minute I walked in this morning because you guys are just here ready to have fun and receive, and everybody loved the food, and you guys, I think, are just in a good mood today. Enjoying the exhale, right? What I would like to do quickly is I'm going to open us in prayer, but one of the people that's not here is Charlotte, and I thought that, you know, she was just sick, and I think she is more than just a little bit sick. She is very ill, and Suzanne is having to take care of her, and so I really feel led that we need to pray for them. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for all of these ladies. And, Lord, I just want to start out our prayer time just lifting up Charlotte. Lord, whatever she has happening right now, Lord, we would just pray for a healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, this throwing up that is really hindering her, Lord, I pray that it would stop right now. And, Father, just comfort her and be with her. I know she was really excited about today, Lord, and just help her feel well very quickly. And, Lord, be with Suzanne, as I know she is really concerned about her mom. And just take care of both of them, Lord. And, Father, I just pray for the rest of us that this time would be anointed. Lord, that this time would be a time for us to just breathe in and exhale, Lord, that we could have a few minutes to just set aside some time for you. Lord, I pray if women were coming this morning not even expecting to hear from you, that they would hear from you, Lord. Father, that you would speak to those that need it and even to those that aren't sure that they needed it, Lord. We all need to hear the voice of God. We all need your peace in our life. And Lord, we just thank you that you're carving out a few minutes for us to just sit and relax and be with you. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor today in your mighty name. Amen. All right, so what I want to do is, Marcy's best friend, Susie, is having chemo treatments right now, and she is taking a pretty serious turn. And so Marcy's just having a really, really tough time. And I know that God's going to be with her and lift her up. She was so good to still help us with today, but I think that we need prayer. And if anyone knows Marcy, this is not easy for her. So this is a God thing. This is a good thing. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray for my dear friend Marcy right now, Lord, that you would lift her up, Lord, that you would give her peace and comfort. Lord, we are looking for you to be with Susie and to heal her body. But, Lord, right now we would just ask that when Marcy goes and sees her father, that you would give her strength, Lord, that she would be able to shine your light to her friend, that she would be able to give her friend comfort and peace, and that Susie would be so blessed by Marcy being there. And Lord, I just pray that Marcy would be surprised at how much she feels you with her right now, Lord, and that she knows that you're the strength inside of her. And Lord, we just thank you for our friend in your name. Amen. You know what's great about women is we take care of business. You know, it's so great. We can be laughing one minute and crying the next. That's just how we work. I mean, on retreat, we're ridiculous. And I do need my glasses these days. So what I want to start out with, because, you know, I'm I'm crazy, and I always just have to shake you up a little bit after a lunch, is I would like, if you're able, everyone to stand up quickly. Oh, no groaning. You people need to come to yoga. There you go. All right. Now, if you don't want to participate, it's fine, but I'm going to ask a series of questions, and if it applies to you, I would like you to sit down, okay? And this is just an exercise, don't worry, it's not exercise. Everybody's afraid I'm going to lead you in a... So what I want you to do is just sit down if it applies to you, and they're just kind of for fun, okay? So this morning, when you woke up, before you stepped out of bed, you turned on your cell phone. The teenager in the room, you know. I'm actually surprised. So this won't apply, but if you did that, you checked your email while you were still in bed. Okay, how many of you this morning had too much caffeine to give you energy to get through the rest of the day? You should all sit down. You know if it was too much. Oh, that is funny. That actually proves my point. Thank you. Okay, how many of you ate sugar before you ate breakfast? Yeah, where's Marcy? For those of you helping with the luncheon, that, you know, we all kind of lose it right before the luncheon and just start doing crazy things. How many of you this morning bit your nails? Okay, how many this morning before you came here had to take an antacid to settle your stomach? And the last question, you are a pretty relaxed group, what I'm seeing. The last question is going to be, that how many of you needed to practice something to calm down an anxiety, like had to give yourself a pep talk before you got here today? I knew I'd lose a few on that. Okay, now everybody have a seat. We love you, Debbie. No, it's good. You can probably see where some of my questions were going. They were just silly little things. Actually, I just wanted you to move around a little bit after you ate that, because, you know, it's terrible. I always teach right after we have a big meal, and, you know, there's always those people that are just nodding off because we gave them a big meal, and, you know, I'm a very soothing voice, right? Right, Karen? So why exhale? I'm sure, raise your hand if you didn't even know the title of today. Some people just come, they have no idea, where is it, why am I here? Yeah, what's the name of it? Exhale. And if you've noticed a theme this year with what the women have been doing, if you attend our church, is we've been trying to relax, darn it. We started out with our retreat. Anybody remember the name? Well, you're our registration person. That doesn't count. And, you know, Miss Tanya, in her, when she was praise and worshiping, did mention resting in God's faithfulness. We had so much fun on that retreat because it was spa-themed, and we just spawed. We rested and laughed. And that's what girls need. And, you know, years ago, I didn't feel as much of a need to have a retreat like that. But this year, I felt like these ladies just really need to relax. Then our Bible study that is still going on is Breathe. And we are loving it because it is actually about the Sabbath, which scared some people off because that's not a current term that we even think of. You know, stores are not closed anymore on Sunday. We don't Sabbath. But Priscilla has done a great job to explain to us about just making room for God, that it doesn't necessarily have to be on Sunday, that we need that margin of time to make room for God, that if there's too much stuff, too much busyness, or even too many things in our life, that it can push him out. And so we are loving having that new idea and trying to find some ways to give God a little more time. She's even asking us to make some space in our house. And so it'll be interesting to see how 14 inches, how everyone is doing, because that's a tough thing to do these days. When I was deciding on today, and I knew that I was going to speak, I always try to kind of run the retreat and this together, kind of keep it in the same realm. And I told some of my Bible study that I can't believe the amount of teachings on stress right now. For a while, every time I turned on the internet, in my devotional pop up on my phone, it's about how to keep you from being stressed out, how to, you know, do this, how to do that. And, you know, not only is that kind of a new thing, but we obviously aren't figuring it out because we keep needing these teachings. Karen actually came up with exhale, right? Everybody breathe in. First, you got to breathe in. Inhale and exhale. It's such, when she first threw it out, I thought, that's perfect. And I kind of sat down and started trying to figure out where I was going to go with this. So the definition, you guys know I'm really into definitions, of exhale is to breathe out in a deliberate manner to send forth. Okay, this is interesting to me because I didn't know that it meant to be deliberate about your breath. We can't always control our inhale, right? Do we need to turn down the air? I see many people putting on sweaters. We never know with this group. A lot of us get warm. It'll pass. So we can't always control what's around us. We can't control the inhales, right? We're just inhaling everything that's swirling around us. Everything that's going on, we can't control that. But according to this definition, we can be deliberate with how we exhale. So stay with me. You'll figure this out. My best example that I thought of this, is I belong to a gym, and I have a love-hate relationship with it because I love all the classes, but if you put me on a bike, I get kind of cranky. It's really boring, and it's just not my style to be indoors riding a bike, but every once in a while it's necessary. If you sit down on the bike, and you're doing your thing, and you're trying to stay positive and happy, and someone plops down next to you who is on their cell phone with something very stressful happening in their life, you feel trapped. There is nowhere to go. And, of course, if you know me, you know that what I want to do is stop and counsel them and try to help them because they're sitting right there sharing. You're really not supposed to be on the phone at the gym. It's kind of a unwritten law, but it's right there. And so then I have to check my attitude because sometimes I think, I don't really need to know how tough your life is right now. I'm just trying to get through the 20 minutes on the bike. The other thing that affects me is if someone sits down who's just freshly applied perfume. Because, you know, at the gym, I'd rather smell other things because, you know, honestly, that'll kill you. And so I knew that was going to be my example because when it happens, there's not one thing you can do about that. There's nothing. You can't control that inhale, only how you react to it. So the other half of the definition, the send forth, is really interesting to me because, you know, we like to tell ourselves that we don't affect anybody else. And, of course, as, you know, Christians, we try to keep that concept that how we act and what we say does affect people. But I find that if we're having a difficult time, it gets hard. It gets really tough. But what we're exhaling, we're sending forth to everybody else. And so I just thought that was interesting that it was in the definition. Matthew 12:34 is, oh, and I did give you guys scriptures that I'm doing in front of you. And I did that because some of mine are out of the Amplified Bible. And if I just rattle them off, you're not going to have a clue what I'm talking about. So more than normal. So I wanted you to have them in front of you because I know you'll be active listening and taking notes. Right? So Matthew 12:34, this is one of my favorite scriptures because I speak a lot. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we know that to be true. We can fake it all day long, but really what's in there is eventually, you know, what's truly down deep is eventually going to come out. So we want what's in our heart to be pure and to be good because it's going to eventually come out. So we need to protect what's in our heart, what we put in our heart, what's in our mind. Psalm 34:14, we talked about a Bible study because I love the scripture. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I love this scripture because do you know that we have to seek peace? We have to work at it. In today's society, I think we have to fight for it because there are so many things trying to steal our peace. And what we talk about all the time is these are not all negative things. A lot of it is really, really great things. Technology is fantastic. There are so many great things. When I'm doing a teaching, there's information at my fingertips, but it's also distracting, and it's also busy, and it's also noise. And I think that people had a little less stress back in the day, even though at times life was harder, because they didn't have so much coming at them. You know, we didn't know. We love as church to know everything right away, prayer requests. But I'll tell you, there are days it wears me out because we know when everyone is hurting. We know we're praying and doing all that, but it weighs on us, doesn't it? We know when someone's struggling at their job. We know all of those things. And so we have to really fight for our exhale to be peaceful. So we talk a lot about how to keep our peace, how to be relaxed. We talk about, you know, the basics, you know, we talk about the Christian things, and then the women that I'm around, you know, you guys, we also talk about trying to get, you know, some exercise, trying to eat well, trying to do those things that, you know, having good time with friends, those things that are going to help us. So I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share today that's different? How can our exhale continue to be peaceful, especially when we're having a difficult time? And in our church, because we have, you know, a lot of older people, we struggle with health. And so, you know, I'll tell you, one of the toughest things for me is when I don't feel good. I can handle a lot, but I am not great when I don't feel good. And so if you're not feeling good, or there is high stress in your life, or your kids are struggling, or, you know, you're having financial problems, whatever it is, it's great to be positive until that hits, and then it's really tough to feel that way. And so my one thing I really wanted to hone in for this, I kept thinking about it and thinking, okay, Erin, you do all of these things to get your peace, but what is something you can't live without? And that really is just my confidence in Christ. That's really it, because I'm not always going to be able to exercise. I'm not always going to be able to eat well. I'm not always going to, you know, be able to do all the other things that I want to do, I have to know who I am in Christ. I have to be confident of him so that I don't have to waver, because I don't want to depend on myself. I don't want to depend on myself. So obviously, I feel the need to say, even though I think everybody in here knows the Lord, the first thing is accepting Jesus. Because if we haven't accepted him as our Lord and Savior, it's going to be tough to hear his voice. We have to be able to know him. And so that's the first way. But it's grieving to me how much people that know the Lord, how much at times as Christians, we, me included, we don't look any different. We're still as sick and stressed out and tired and overwhelmed as everybody else. And it is an epidemic these days because there's so much noise coming at us. There's so much going on. And, you know, we constantly have to step back and say, I know it's society now, but I'm not going to completely buy into that. I'm not, there's a song about being overwhelmed in Jesus, and I love it because I thought that's how I want to be overwhelmed. I want to be overwhelmed with the Lord, not just with my lifestyle, right? And so that is a typical thing. Even people that are joyful and happy, they're just a lot going on. You would not believe the texts I got about today and the people that could not be here. The paragraphs they wrote me on why they couldn't be here. And you know what? Those were the ones that needed to be here. And it's not, you know, I mean, the kids, the people that had sports and, you know, that are sick and that type of thing, that's different. But, you know, so many times people do not feel like they can carve out an hour and a half. They can't do it. And I want to challenge us, me included, to take that time. We need each other. We need each other. We need this time. We need this time with the Lord. So I love it, Gail. I love when I can hear you. It's just my ears are tuned to you. So we have to pursue this relationship, and we have to be able to recognize his voice. We have to pursue this peace so that we can exhale. You notice I keep doing this. You know, breathing is a great thing. We talk a lot about breathing now in our society. It's not just me. You know, when you exercise, if you ever do a difficult exercise, we hold our breath. Right, Gail? We hold our breath. All of us do. So the people that are doing a class have to remind you, breathe. I didn't think that I knew that I had to be told to breathe, but you do. You catch your breath. When we get scared, what do? And this isn't part of my notes, but funniest thing, I had shared with Karen that I really wanted to scare you guys. You know, it's all those years of youth ministry. It's just still in me. But I wanted a really loud noise and that you would all catch your breath. And my husband said I couldn't do it. So, but the funny thing is, last night, something fell, scared me. I went, and it was the funniest thing. David laughed so hard because we had just had this discussion. When you get worked up, when you get fearful, you catch your breath when you're trying to exercise. And Lori, what is one of the main activities that you do that you need help breathing? Labor. And, you know, what a great example. You know, do we need help breathing? Well, apparently, because now there are all sorts of, well, always, there's been birthing classes. They want to teach you how to, you know, breathe. Do all that, and so then you get ready to have a baby. They throw you and your husband in a room. Your husband has no clue what he's doing. You're mad that you even got pregnant in the first place. You're in pain. You're hurting. Who can remember how to breathe? I don't think it did me any good at all. I knew the concept sounded good, but, you know, it just ridiculous. So I have had the privilege to be at several births. I am the baby lady. I love babies. And one of my good friends is in here who I was at her son's. and I have a special place for those births. The last three were at home, and my dear friend decided that for the first 10 hours or so, we were going to be alone, just she and I. And she is not here today, so I can talk about her. And guess what? I didn't know as much as I thought. She struggled. You know, we were in a room, she was in pain, and we were by ourselves because the doula, who, you know, there's midwives who do just what doctors do now. They catch the baby. That's pretty much it. They show up at the end, they catch the baby, they leave. The doula is the coach, is the one that, you know, wants to encourage you, teach you how to breathe. Well, the doula was in bad weather up in the mountains, and we were alone, and it was bad. I did a lot of praying, but the minute the doula walked into the room, it was this young girl. She got in my friend's face. She breathed with her. She told her what to do, and immediately my friend was doing better. The pain wasn't gone, but it was manageable. And I couldn't believe it. It was like a miracle. And she knew exactly what to say. And then she was the same one with each child. And it's like my girlfriend knew this girl's. The minute she heard this girl's voice, she would relax. She would exhale. And I'm telling you, it was a miracle. But she needed that coaching. She needed that. She needed that voice. So in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I love that scripture, but I love it even more in the Amplified. So I want you to look at your paper, because you're not going to understand it unless you're looking at it. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Isn't that awesome? You know, we have to know his voice. We have to be built up and know him and recognize him when these tough times come. I mean, I have learned that's why we have to memorize scripture. That's why we have to have praise music in our heart, because when something comes and hits us, I talked to somebody the other day that something blindsided her. She didn't see it coming. Boy, you have to be able to recognize the voice of God in those times, because sometimes you don't feel like picking up your Bible. Sometimes you don't feel like you can get through. You have to have that stuff buried in your heart. You got to know and recognize him. And if you notice, the way it started out is, trust in and rely confidently. Because if we know we can trust in him, if we know he has our back, he's going to take care of us, we don't have to worry about our performance and our ability. Thank goodness. I'm so thankful for that I can trust and rely confidently. And I can say, Lord, I don't feel good about this. I don't have confidence in me, but I know who you are. And I can be confident in you. And then I can do it. So we have to quickly talk about Mary and Martha. Because, you know, I know, our favorite story of Mary and Martha. Do you know that that story is like five verses? It's amazing that we, us women, we just pour over this story and have made up all sorts of stuff about it because it's such a good story. But I don't want to read it. And take up the time, but Mary and Martha were sisters in Jesus' time. They lived in Bethany, and they had invited Jesus and his disciples were coming through Bethany, and they had said that they could stay, that Jesus and his disciples could stay at their house. Well, Martha was a worker. She was a doer, and she was going to make this the best feast ever. She was going to get ready for these men. And she's, I'm ad-libbing a little bit here. She's running around the house, and she's getting all these preparations ready, and she can't find Mary, her sister. And she cannot figure out where Mary is. Well, she looks in the room where Jesus is, and there's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, not helping. And it annoyed Martha because Martha was busy and overworked. And yes, it's Jesus, but we got to get the food on. Anyone other than me ever have that thought? Yes, I know I need to talk to those people, but if this doesn't get done, then no one's going to do it, right? And so, you know, and Mary was not supposed to really be sitting at Jesus' feet. Usually it was men. You know, back then, the men sat and they discussed and they had these spiritual talks. The women's spiritual relationship was service. That's just how it was. And so they were expected. Martha was doing what she was expected. And so what I love about Martha is she has the audacity to go to Jesus and say, you know, my sister over here, I've never been known to do anything like this, I promise. I can't relate to Martha at all. You know, this one over here is sitting at the feet, you know, at your feet, and really, you know, not getting anything done, and I'm worried, and I'm, you know. And, you know, Jesus is gentle and wonderful and was so sweet to her and didn't talk about Mary. He just said, Martha, Martha, why are you worried? Why are you full of anxiety? You know, Mary was doing what Mary was supposed to do. And we love that story because if anyone is a Martha, they get it. They get it. They've sat there and thought badly of those people that were sitting enjoying themselves. But we also know that that is such a terrible attitude. That is not what we are supposed to be doing, besides the fact that we are all different personalities, right? And we are all good at different things. Martha, in her busyness, lost sight of what was important. She was right in what she was doing. I'm sure there were beds to change and food to make. There was a lot to prepare, but she got so busy, she missed it. She missed Jesus. And that's why that story is in the Bible. And I have to say, Mary was brave enough to sit down there with all those men. I don't even think she thought about it. I think she knew Jesus' voice. She was drawn to it. She could do nothing else than to sit at his feet. She didn't care. And that's how I want to be. I want to be so drawn to Jesus' voice that I, first of all, that I recognize it, and that I want to sit and just, and that I don't miss out on what's important. And there's the time of being busy and getting what we need to get done. We need to get things done. And then there's time to sit at his feet. So we had to discuss Mary and Martha. Mary stopped long enough to hear the voice of Jesus. She was going to soak up every bit of what she could to be filled and have her confidence be in Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 is, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and of discipline. I threw it in at the last minute because obviously Mary wasn't timid. She just did what she needed to do. But I love that it says discipline. Spending time with God takes work. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't be that way, but it does. It takes discipline because other stuff gets in the way. And a lot of times, ladies, it's good stuff. It's good stuff, but we have to be disciplined. We must take an active role of fighting off anxiety and fear and busyness. You know, it all kind of gets rolled together. We have to exhale and be full of his peace. 2 Corinthians 10:5 is bringing every thought into captivity for the obedience of Christ. I had to throw that scripture in because I really think that it's just easy to have a lot of negative thoughts from the world. And, you know, it should be all, you need me time, it's all about me, and me being happy and my needs, that's what we're being told. And so we really have to take those thoughts captive in Christ. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. I love that. Steadfast, being focused. It's a great scripture because you know your mom was focused. Her mom, at the end of her life, was sick and not feeling good. She was still focused on sharing Jesus with every single nurse, doctor, orderly she came into contact with. She was the most focused human being. I mean, sometimes you just wanted to kick her and go, come on, you know, let's go get in the, you know, in the hospital bed. And she was going to share the gospel no matter what. So that's why that is a perfect scripture from her, because it's easy to lose. Anybody else lose their focus these days? It's easy for me to, even with this talk, I found that I kept kind of losing my focus, and that's an easy place to be. With hope and confident expectation, this person has confident expectation that God will bring them peace. Do you have a confident expectation? Sometimes I know I can be dealing with something, and I just think, you know, all these women are too busy, no one's going to come to the luncheon. You know, it's easy to feel that way. But if you go, you know what? God's a big God, and God's going to bring women here who want to be here, who need to hear this message. That's confident expectation, not in my ability at all, but in him. And then I don't have to worry about it, because it's not about me. It's about him. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Romans 15:13. We should be jumping up and down at this scripture. Oh, it's not on it? Sorry about that. I wasn't focused. Well, good. I think Nikki's trying to bring it up right now. Okay, I'm going to read it again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, because you just get joy and peace from believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's because of the Holy Spirit inside of us that we can do this. And we can abound, not just a little bit. Hope comes through Scripture. And you know we always say Scripture is God breathed. A lot of breath. God breathed. That's our exhale. We have to spend that time with him in the Word. And you know, if you noticed, I mean, I could have done this whole lesson out of Romans. You can just spend the next week looking at scriptures on Romans to get lots of peace and lots of hope. Romans 5:2, you're probably not going to have either. I have a feeling I didn't do page 2. Okay, that's all right. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into grace, in which we stand and we exult in hope of glory of God. And I love this, you guys. I'm sorry that you can't see it, because, you know, we stand on this grace. That's what the scripture's saying. And, you know, standing in this portion of scripture is about being permanent, standing in a permanent state, secure position. Anybody want to be secure today? Stand and be stable and not have somebody be able to just walk over and knock you over? When you're going through something tough, you feel a little shaky. But this tells you that you can stand and be in a secure position. And it says, so we exult in the hope of glory of God. Hope in this New Testament translation contains no uncertainty. There's none. It's hope. And I want to say this right. Something that is certain but not yet realized. So we haven't fully realized our hope in Jesus. We won't until we go to be with him. But it's a certainty. Your hope in him is a certainty, and that's where your confidence can come from. I also wanted to give you the definition for exult, because we don't use that word a whole lot anymore. Show or feel elation or jubilation, especially as the result success. Isn't that cool? We're going to have success in him. And I just, I read that, and I'm like, I'm such a dancer. You know, we do praise and worship. I'm the jumper, and I love to dance. But I thought, I love that, because we're dancing because of our confidence in Christ, and because the result is going to be successful. There's no debate about that. It's just this process that we got to go to get there. It can be a little challenging. But our exhale, our breathing, how we do this life is the part we got to focus on. Because we know the end, we win. Jesus won. Jesus died for us. He shed his blood. But he also is our God of today. He's our God of victories. He wants us to have a victorious life. He wants us to exhale well. And I loved that Tanya said that you are daughters of the Most High King. Women have a tendency to think they don't deserve certain things. And sometimes in our life, we're the caretakers and we don't get pampered, but Jesus wants to pamper you. And there is nothing about you he dislikes. He wants us to work on our stuff so that we can have success, so that we can have a better life, so that people can see him through us. And Bobby, where are you? What was the name of that song I played for you this morning? Do you remember? Oh, Let Them See You in Me. And I played it for my worship team because they're so good about getting up here and trying so hard for people to see Jesus through them. And that was my prayer for my talk, and it's this really cool new song. Let them see him through me. And, you know, part of that is with our exhale, and especially if we are having a tough time and people see that we're still standing secure, that's a really awesome witness.